Episode 3.
So Harriet the other day got home from school, who's in grade 5, and she said to me, "We just got told that 80% of the jobs that exist now won't exist when I finish school." And that sounded to me like a real doom and gloom. And then I was thinking, that's actually really amazing. When I was coming through school, everything was really pigeonholed and I had to either be this or that or this. Imagine being in a world where the sky's the limit. Really, you can just choose and follow your passion.
Yeah, but the difference is, Nat, that not everyone's emotionally equipped to deal with that kind of uncertainty. A lot of what people need is comfort and security. So I think our job as parents and sort of, you know, the wiser age group of society need to give comfort that's like, boy, where will their comfort and safety come from?
I know. Well, one of the things I find really horrible about getting older is everybody talks about, oh, the young ones, they're no good at this, Gen Y this, they don't try, they just expect to be the top. And I, first of all, I want to say I work with young kids all the time when I'm a teacher, because I teach at university, and I think their values are different and what they're looking for is different. So I think trying to match the values of two generations is kind of crazy, because I'll say to them, oh, what did you do for the summer? And they'll built a well in an African country. I mean, I never even thought of that. So they're different and they're aspiring not necessarily to be at the top because they don't necessarily want what we want. But on that note about being a parent and teacher, you're right. We've got to teach kids, well, the big buzzword is resilience, but we've got to teach them how to deal with lack of certainty and embrace it and see it as exciting, because it's controlled by us as people. It's not, people go to, oh, in artificial intelligence and machines. We're in charge. So I think...
Yeah, and back to the millennial piece, I have a really strong philosophy about it. It's through circumstance that they've never experienced harsh times. You know, I'm sort of at that age bracket where I think I classify at the top end of Gen Y. And I vaguely remember the 1987 crash where people lost jobs and, you know, people had to sell their homes with 17% interest rates. I vaguely remember that, but I was too young to appreciate the impact it had. But ever since then, it's all been good. Like, seriously, all good.
Yeah, but that's not their fault. That's a gift. And but also, I think that they've seen us work and work and work. For what?
Yeah.
I think there's this real, oh, my God, it's just a bigger, better, brighter, shinier new toy.
Really. And then you get cancer and die.
Yeah, so why not just live a little? So I think, but I think it happens to every generation. Every generation needs to think that the one coming next haven't got it right. And I absolutely loved, I was on a plane the other day and I watched that Bear Grylls, he takes a star out, and he took Obama, which...
Oh, really?
In itself, I think, is just an amazing thing. They just went for a day, and I think that's amazing for a president to go out and do that. And he did it.
Very in touch.
Very in touch, and so not Trump. And I just thought, but he said...
We could do a whole episode of So Not Trump.
Yeah, maybe we'll call our next one So Not Trump. So, and I think he said something, two things that he said were just so profound, but, I mean, he's an amazing guy. One is he was talking about climate change, and Bear said... How do you get a lot of the older people on board, the people who are sceptical and don't really believe in climate change? And he said, to some extent, you can't really. And I think there comes to be a stage where we have to step aside and let the next lot have a go. And I really admire that, because you can bang your head against a brick wall forever, but really you have to say at some point, we're done our bit. It's time for them to shine. And the other thing I loved, which just is totally off the track, but I just really thought was fantastic, but it does sort of talk about kids and children. He said, I don't know what my kids are going to do when they grow up, and I don't know what they can do. But the two things I think they need to be is useful and kind. And I think that that's a really, really good thing. Do you think?
I love that. And I think, you know, that's what I'm really looking for when I look for people who inspire me, is that I think sometimes we get a bit jaded, particularly in the corporate world, about where does nice fit in, but it actually does. It really does.
I was talking to a good friend of mine, Liz, the other day, and we were saying, imagine, I mean, this it's so out there, the concept, but imagine if the workplace, everyone behaved like their normal selves.
Yeah.
Right. Everyone was just themselves, because something happens at work. I often talk about, so someone said to me at work not long ago, a place that I've worked for 8 years, oh, you would have made a great mum, which I find was Well, it's kind of a compliment, but at the same time, I am a mum. And at the time, I had an 8-year-old and a 10-year-old. And I thought, isn't it extraordinary that they don't know about me as a person? I'm a role. And we were laughing. We're going, it's kind of like when you drive your car. You never drive like that again when you go for your license. Then you go to drive how you want to. Well, we kind of... I reckon it would be really great if we're just working as ourselves.
Well, it still is performance. You know, it's like a performance. It's like being an actor, you know, and, you know, putting on a suit is your shield of armour and it's your costume.
I know. I mean, I couldn't work. I imagine trying to be a lawyer in a law firm dressed as a clown. I mean, you just couldn't. So it's all your armour. But at the same time, I find it really sad. And I think that's probably when she said that to me and she was going, oh, wouldn't it be nice if we're all ourselves? I thought, that's hit the nail on the head for me. That's why I'm not good at it.
No.
Because I don't want to play that game. And I'm pretty crap at it, actually. I'm pretty... I don't really like hierarchies. I get really lost in all of that because I miss the point. I miss the game and I get left behind.
Well, people who do well have an amazing stamina. It's a stamina that we just can't give ourselves into. Give me a long run and I'll do it. But the stamina of day in, day out, facing the same challenges. But, you know, full kudos to the people who do it.
Yeah, but the problem for me is I don't want what's at the end. I've got no interest in what the carrot at the end is of no value to me. I just go... oh my God, the person who made it, that's not what I want to be, what they got to. So it's impossible for me to put in the stamina. But then again, I think, and this is what I want to teach our kids, there's different kinds of people. So understanding yourself, it's taken me really 46 years to understand, I absolutely can't stand routine. And many people need to know what the day brings. I can't stand it. I can't even drive to work the same way.
Natalie doesn't even have a to-do list.
No, I have a different approach. I go to bed when everything's done. So I wake up and it was all done. I can't bear... well, I don't know. It's just something about me. And I suppose it gets to a stage and age in your life. You know, that's okay. That's who I am.
Yeah.
And I can't be that put a round peg in a square hole.
But what it means is what we wanted to talk about in this episode is, you know, what's our predicted future and what's the jobs you can aim for. And, you know, the reality is nobody knows, but what are the skills that we can recommend you work on? You know, what are the things that we can anticipate will never go away? And we all know things like the service industry will never disappear, and there's always going to be, you know, jobs available for that. But those repetitive tasks are not going to be around anymore.
No, and it was really fantastic. A few weeks ago, I sat with some programmers who are from the States, and I don't get to sit with guys who talk that, well, geeky talk. They were really interesting guys. I had a really great time with them, but it was fascinating talking to them because when I talk to my friends, they're all, oh, I hope they're getting good marks and I want them to do this, I want them to do that. And these guys all said, oh, God, we hope our kids don't go to uni. What a waste of time. And I said, really? And they said, well, they can go to uni, but only do something you're passionate about. Don't do it just cause, because who knows where we're headed. Just do something you love. So if you love violin, study it. But don't just go and do something because you're on a path. And it was really – and one of them actually said, which I it was so good to speak to different people. He said, I tell my kids minimum screen time 2 hours a day. And the whole world, I mean, everyone says,
ba-bow.
My whole world is people saying, oh, no, they're not allowed on screens, allowed on
screens. Climb the trees, but be very safe.
Be very careful out on the trees. In fact, I've got a funny story on that. I came home and said, I'm sick of screens, I'm sick of it. And I said to my kids, after school now, you have to play outside like I did in 1975. Of course, missing so many points that 1975 was a different world. But anyhow, so I sent my kids out at 4 o'clock. At 4:08, my son had broken his wrist. So we had approximately 8 minutes of freedom and spirited living outside and were straight back in for 7 weeks in a cast on the iPad. But what I meant about...
And so now he's encouraged to sit at his desk all day long, all night long.
No, but what I just loved about these guys is just them going, you know, that's the skills they're going to need. They're going to have to be really good at typing. They're going to have to be really...
they need search engine optimization skills at a very young age.
They're going to be good researchers. Yeah. You know, that's what's going to be a good skill, is how to find stuff. I mean, already our brain, there is all the brain studies and that are showing that we're not retaining knowledge anymore because that's evolution. We don't have to. The internet has taught us we don't have to retain it. We have to find it. So that's another really important skill is... finding information, but critiquing the information. Is it correct? Is it valuable? Is it reliable?
Maybe filing information is some sort of future career path that will exist.
maybe we'll all be filers and we just have robots do everything. But I suppose what I just want people to go, let's teach our kids these skills and... But let's say to them, what an amazing time you've got in front of you. You're going to be, because these changes aren't just going to happen. People have to invent them and come up with the ideas. It's not just someone's going to thrust upon us from Mars, they're going to throw down 3,000 or 300,000 computers and robots and they start working. We have to do it.
Yeah, and I think, you know, it really comes from almost everybody should start a business because at some point in their lives, because... No one can write the book of how it's going to work step by step. What's my day going to involve? How's it going to go?
No, well, my son's got a business called Tech Heads. He's 13 and rides around with his mate on a BMX and fixes people's computers. And the biggest lesson he's learned is just because it's an idea doesn't mean you get customers. So he's having to really dig deep and think how. So
he did tell me he's made $115 so far, so I'm pretty impressed.
Yeah, well, his whole goal in life is by the time he's 16 to not have to work in McDonald's. He doesn't really care. But he came up with the idea, the flyers, the T-shirts, but customers don't just come. So he's learning that whole skill set, and I think that's a great thing to learn.
Yeah. But what I'm saying is, you know, people turn up to a role. I work in HR and they want to know what am I going to be doing and what am I going to be measured on. And I think managers really struggle to articulate that, but they also struggle to articulate what am I looking for? What are the signs of success? And, you know, when you're with a small business, the sign of success is how much money is in your bank account. So there's like an end goal. It's not about the activity you do to get there. And you don't know what hurdles you're going to have to face.
No, and that's where job descriptions are a total disaster for me because the people I employ, I hate articulating a job description. So that means I have to find someone who thinks like me because a job description for me is just so limiting. I can't bear the thought of someone saying that's not what I'm supposed to do.
Well, you might be missing out on them doing something in their role that could really add value to you because it's not in the job description.
Which brings me to my biggest bugbear of all. Corporations, they've become really slow-moving beasts, but they don't, and the ones I've worked in, they don't really want people to be great thinkers and entrepreneurial. So they're all talking about it's all exciting and that. But actually the type of person who, for me, I don't like sitting at a desk very much. I'm not very good. I wander around and I remember working at one of the big law firms and the managing partner walked past and said he had some clients and they said, oh, who's that? And he said, oh, that's Natalie. We don't really know what she does. And I found that really sad. I mean, I loved that he was a great partner and he let me be me, but pretty much I was just like this misfit wandering around and I thought, it's just really tragic. I actually love people and clients. I'm always thinking of ways to solve their problems, but it wasn't really appreciated. So if I could say to big corporates, I don't even know if it's just big corporates, just give people an opportunity to be themselves. And I tell you one thing I did with...
Just before you move on, I think a lot of that's got to do with brand. You know, they expect certain limits within their brand and they kind of have to. I don't know if you've seen this week, Qantas released a video of their attire rules. Like, so no beards allowed, no... But I kind of get it at the same time. Like, it's very restricting in terms of that individuality, the personality. But I don't know how much spunk I want my pilot to have.
Whereas, see, I couldn't care less. I don't care what they look like. I care about their integrity and their skills and their knowledge. So, and that's where we're all different. And
yeah, but I do think I worked for a big automotive company that I think they weren't passionate about innovation and creativity because their brand was so strong. They don't need it to be.
Yeah, and there you go. That's why I don't fit.
Yeah.
That's the whole point. So I'm not saying I'm right. My God, no. I've proven for 20 years I'm so wrong. I have never done I don't last very long places, so don't get me wrong.
Anyway, we were trying to be really creative here and come up with the future jobs, but we didn't do a great job in brainstorming for this episode. But we came up with the things, what I know or what no, I won't be when I grow up. So what were some of those things, Nat?
Well, we probably won't be a postie.
I probably won't be a taxi driver.
I probably won't work on a production line.
I probably won't be a lawyer.
Yeah, and that's an interesting one. I don't think you'll be a lawyer or an accountant or a lot of those things in the same way it looks now. No. It doesn't mean you won't do it. In fact, I reckon it's going to be great because I think it'll take a lot of the mundane tasks out of it and automate them and then step you up to the stuff that requires the real thinking.
Yeah, like long lunches.
Yeah, well, that's a whole nother episode on mums. Try being a mum and working and having a long lunch. I don't know. In the 13 years I've been a mum, I haven't had a long lunch. Have you?
No, because I usually have to leave for pickup.
Yeah. Yeah, so no, the long lunch is the domain, not for me. Or I'm locked out of that. But that's another episode. But yeah, so that's today. I think is an opportunity to think about where we're headed and just let the next generation. It's at some stage we will step aside. And in the great words of Obama, let them have a go.
Yeah, I agree. But look, I'd love to impart some major wisdom of what I think the future jobs look like. But as I said, I think there's certain skills like, you know, internet marketing that our kids can learn now. But even that is going to look very different.
Yeah, so I suppose the number one skill is resilience to go on the ride.
Resilience, but I also think creativity and communication. The ability to have relationships. The ability to, you know, have interpersonal conversations, interpersonal relationships is, you know, why we really should be encouraging them out there climbing trees and playing in the court.
And breaking their arm.
So that's resilience. How's your pain threshold? Test this.
Well, it's bad. It's pretty good because he came in at 4 and I took him to the doctors at 11 because I didn't believe him. So now the bad.
How tough are you?
Well, tough enough to start tech ed, so it hasn't been a total failure. All right, thanks very much, and let's chat next Friday.
Yeah, thanks for coming, guys.